It's a pleasure to be here this evening. My name is Rabbi Adam Freiberg. For those who don't know me, I'm the assistant rabbi here in the Young Israel of Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale. And it's really a pleasure for us to partner with REITS, with Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary, my alma mater, and Rabbi Yeshua Katz, currently studies as a member of the Kollel Elyon, the Wexner Kollel Elyon, I believe is the official name. And thanks to Rabbi Turk for helping to arrange this evening. For those who don't know Rabbi Katz, Rabbi Yeshua Katz learned for 2 years in Yeshiva Har Etzion, and then went on to graduate from Yeshiva University with a BA in philosophy, as well as a master's in Jewish philosophy. And he completed his smicha, his rabbinical ordination, at REITS, at Yeshiva University smicha program in 2019, last year. Currently, as I mentioned, he's one of the illustrious members of the very special program, the Wexner Kollel Elyon at REITS. And he loves to share his Torah with us and with all those. He has in the past served as the rabbinic intern at Mount Sinai Jewish Center in Washington Heights. And now he's a Magid Shir, a teacher of Torah at Yeshiva Chabad House of the Bowery. He lives in Washington Heights with his wife, Bracha, and their son, Effie. He's also, most importantly, the son-in-law of the Browsers. And so it's wonderful to see you again, Rabbi Katz. I know you've had the chance to spend many Shabbat, many Yom Tovim, not many, probably not enough. I'll tell your in-laws I said that. They need to see you more when it's safe and hopefully very soon. And he's had the chance to spend many Yom Tovim down in our community and has had the chance, in fact, to teach Torah to us both in the pre-base major shir at 8:15 in the morning, as well as from the pulpit in different capacities. So again, it's a pleasure to welcome Rabbi Katz. And I know he's dedicating this shir tonight in honor of his wife's grandparents, Leon and Leona Browser, who were unfortunately nifter, both passed away very close to each other just a few weeks ago. So I'll let him make that dedication. Any words he wants to share about them very briefly before his class. Thank you, Rabbi Katz. Just wait one moment for me to spotlight you so everyone else can see you. Okay, Rabbi Katz, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Freiberg, for the warm introduction. For the past 2 years, so Bracha and I, we've really enjoyed coming down to Hollywood for Shavuos. Rabbi Freiberg mentioned we've come down for a couple of Yamim Tovim over the past number of years, and in particular, Shavuos has always been a particularly enjoyable time for us. Not only because we love spending time with my in-laws, with Bracha's parents, with the Browsers, but also because we love being at Young Israel for Yontif. And in particular for Shavuos, learning all night and learning Torah together with the community. We actually had flights down to Florida even as recent as last week, and we only canceled them last week. And we were really holding out, really hoping that we could come down again. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. But nonetheless, I'm very, very, very glad that we have this opportunity today to learn some Torah together and be able to reconnect with the Young Israel. As Rabbi Freiberg mentioned also, the shiur is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmos, my father-in-law Joel's mother and father, Elka Bas Herschel Zechrona Levracha, and Eliezer ben Abraham Yitzchak Zechrona Levracha. And I think that the topic that we're going to study tonight, the topic of the role of Simcha, of joy in Talmud Torah, really relates very much in a certain way to my wife's grandparents, the Bracha's grandparents, to Leon and Leona Browser. And I'll explain that at the end of the shiur. So to begin on the topic of the role of Simcha in Talmud Torah, it really pays to note that the role of joy in Talmud Torah is not really, it's not limited to the realm of Torah study, but rather plays a role in all of Avodas Hashem. The Torah in Parshas Kisavo in Devarim Perek Chav Ches tells us that we're punished for not serving Hashem with joy and goodness of heart. It's really a striking pasuk where the Torah says, "Tachas asher lo avanta es Hashem elokecha b'simcha uvituv leva." Because we haven't served Hashem with joy and with goodness of heart, therefore we're going to be punished. Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Asher of the 13th century of Spain, one of the Mefarshim al Torah, so he comments on that pasuk, and he says that what this pasuk implies is that there's a mitzvah bifnei atzma, an independent command to display simcha whenever performing any mitzvah in the Torah. And we find this theme really, it's really a ubiquitous theme. We find it in Tehillim, David HaMelech exhorts us in the famous pasuk, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, where we're supposed to serve Hashem with joy. So without doubt, the emotion of happiness, of joy, really plays a role in all of Avodas Hashem. But what I'd like to focus on tonight is the wide array of evidence that the role of simcha in Talmud Torah, in Torah study, in that particular mitzvah, is actually a singular one, and that it transcends the general role of simcha in mitzvos that we just described before. We know that throughout Sefer Tehillim, Torah is described very poignantly as something that causes joy. In Perek Yud Tes of Tehillim, so David HaMelech describes Torah as Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misamchei Lev, that the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gladden the heart. In that very same Perek, David likens Torah to honey, Misukim Medevash Venofes Tzufim, that the Torah study is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And many, many prakim later in Sefer Tehillim, David describes that Lulei Sorascha Sha'ashu'ai Az Avadati Ba'ani, were it not for the fact that Torah is my delight, I would have been lost in my distress. So really, in summary, throughout Tehillim, Torah is described as it's sweet, it's delightful, it's something that gladdens the heart. And the truth is that it's not only in the Psukim that we find that Torah is described as something that's delightful, but we find that also with respect to the event of Matan Torah, which we're about to commemorate this coming Thursday night, and also with respect to the act, to the enterprise of Torah study. So let's begin just with a couple of notes about Kabbalas HaTorah. Chazal in many places describe learning Torah as Smichim Kenesinasan Misinai, as joyous as the time that they were given at Har Sinai, as if to say that whenever we learn Torah, we hearken back to that original moment when we first received the Torah and how joyous we were at the foot of the mountain of Har Sinai. The truth is that the Mishnah Berurah quotes a practice of many earlier authorities to eat not only dairy, which is very famous on Shavuos, but also to have devash, to have honey on Shavuos, in order to reflect the sweetness of Matan Torah, in order to indicate how joyful we are about the prospect of having received the Torah on this amazing day. And as I said before, it's not only the acceptance of the Torah that's riddled with joy, but it's also the enterprise, the involvement with Torah, the study of Torah itself, that is supposed to be a joyful one. We know that we make a Birkas HaTorah, we recite a bracha prior to learning Torah every morning, where we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvos HaVetzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. We say that we have been commanded to learn Torah, and then we articulate a prayer. We beseech Hashem, V'harevna Hashem Elokeinu es divrei sorascha befinu v'fios amcha beis Yisrael. And according to many Mefarshim, what this means to say is that we request of Hashem that he make the Torah sweet for us. V'harevna means, please make it joyful for us. Please make it sweet for us so that we can enjoy it when we engage in Torah. So it's very, very clear that there's an immense emphasis on the factor and the element on the component of simcha, of joy, in the entire realm of Limud Torah. And really this compels the question, which is what exactly accounts for this prominence of the role of simcha in the world of Limud HaTorah, in the world of Torah study? Where else do we find that we ask Hashem to make a mitzvah pleasant, to make a mitzvah joyful for us? We don't have any other bracha that says, V'ha'arevna, please Hashem, make it delightful for us. And what this forces us to do is really to explore the role of simcha in Limud HaTorah, to consider what its nature is, what its ramifications are for Torah study, and ultimately why it is and for what purpose it is, that Torah is really something that delights the heart, that is misamchei lev, that is misukim midevash v'nofes tzufim. And the truth is that that's the first question. The second question is that this whole phenomenon of simcha within the world of Limud HaTorah is not actually without controversy. There are some achronim who are actually bothered by the text of v'ha'arevna, that we ask Hashem to make Talmud Torah delightful for us. And they ask the following question. We know in general that there's a precept of studying Torah lishma, that the ideal manner to study Torah is to study it for its own sake. We don't study Torah in order to make money, in order to gain fame, in order to gain respect, in order to illustrate, or in order to publicize our intelligence or anything like that. We study Torah because Hashem commanded us to study the Torah, and because the Torah is our vehicle towards creating a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, with God himself. And if that's the case, ask some Achronim, so then wouldn't trying to seek pleasure, trying to derive joy and benefit from Torah study, wouldn't that compromise, wouldn't that be a violation of the principle of Torah Lishma? If we're trying to get joy out of it, then isn't it for ourselves? It's not really for the Torah, it's for ourselves because we enjoy it. That's their question. How can it be the V'ha'arev? Now, how can it be that Torah is supposed to be something that's delightful? It's supposed to be something that we seek joy in, if it's also the case that Torah is supposed to be studied al-lishma. So the two questions that we're going to focus on for the most part tonight, number one, just exploring in general the role, the nature of Simcha in Talmud Torah and the consequences that it had in the way that we study Torah. And number two, how it is that Torah is supposed to be something joyous and at the very same time is also supposed to be studied al-lishma. So to address the question of the nature of Simcha in Talmud Torah, what is this Simcha really all about? To unpack it, let's examine some of the effects, some of the consequences that Simcha in Talmud Torah has in the world of halacha. And I think that the most significant of those applications is the prohibition to study Torah during Avelus and during Tisha B'Av. While one is in mourning, or while we as Klal Yisrael, as a nation, are in mourning, mourning for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Tanis, on Daf Lamed Amin Aleph, spells out in a Braisa that just as a mourner in Avel is prohibited to study Torah during his Shiva Semei Avelos, during his 7 days of mourning, so too we are prohibited to study Torah on the day of Tisha B'Av, again, because on the day of Tisha B'Av, we're all considered like Avelim, we're all considered like mourners. And why is it that we're prohibited to study Torah? So it's because of the pasuk that we quoted at the beginning of the shir, Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chelech, that the laws of God, the Torah, it gladdens the heart. It's Misameach Es Halev. It makes us rejoice. And on Tisha B'Av and during Avelos, we're not supposed to be in a state of joy, but rather we're supposed to be in a state of sorrow and sadness. And because the joy of Torah is contradictory to the sadness of Avelos, therefore it has to be ceased from during the time period of Avelos. The Gemara there adds a very interesting halacha, which is that it's not only for adults. This prohibition not only applies to those above bar and bat mitzvah age, but rather tinoko shall be sraban b'teilin bo. All children, all of the schools, are closed up on the day of Tisha B'Av. No child, no matter how young he or she is to be taught Torah in school on the day of Tisha B'Av. And this is really a striking halacha. Some achronim, including the Taz, in Simin Taf Kuf Nun Dalid, in Se'if Aleph, in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, so they question, the Taz questions, how does this make any sense? Why is it that children shouldn't be taught on Tisha B'Av? What's the whole point of the prohibition to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av? Because the Torah is going to cause a sense of joy in a person. And that's going to be contradictory to his state of Avelos. But when you have a little child, a 4 or 5, a 6-year-old, they're not really going to experience a genuine joy in the world of Limud HaTorah. Okay, so they understand the Torah to their degree, to their level. And of course, we encourage them to learn as much as possible. But in terms of the real joy that underlies the process of learning Torah, is that something that they're able to tap into? Says the Taz, I don't think so. So if that's the case, then why do we have to close up the schools? What real joy are little children going to be experiencing when they study Torah on Tisha B'Av? So I'd like to present to you two possibilities, two approaches in the Achronim to this question. And I think that these two approaches actually reflect, they will yield for us two different understandings of the nature of the role of Simcha in Talmud Torah in general. The first approach is that of the Magen Avraham, on that very simon. And the Magen Avraham explains that although children don't get the joy of comprehension, they don't enjoy the Torah from a perspective of understanding, of an intellectual viewpoint. Nonetheless, they do experience simcha from the act of learning, from just reading the words, being able to string a sentence together. We all see those smiles on little children's faces when they're able to just put those words together and say that I pronounced them correctly, I know what's going on, even if they don't have a full grasp and understanding of what they just read, just the reading itself propels joy within them, says the Magen Avraham. And that joy is sufficient to have to outlaw the entire prospect of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. Because little children get joy just out of reading the words, therefore we have to close up the schools, we have to close up shop on Tisha B'Av. But the Rav Soloveitchik, so he developed a different approach, an alternative, which really gets to the core, cuts to the core of what the Simcha of Talmud Torah is really all about. The Rav, in a couple of places, this has been written up in Rav Schechter's notes on Avelos and the Shiurei HaRav, he has this as well. The Rav suggested that what this halacha, the fact that children don't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, that they close up the schools, what it reflects is that the nature of Simcha in Talmud Torah is a unique one. What it indicates is that the study of Torah, Talmud Torah, Limud HaTorah, is something that is an objectively gladdening act. When we say Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamchei Lev, that the Torah gladdens the heart, what that means is that regardless of a person's subjective experience of the Torah, regardless of what he or she feels on the inside when they learn Torah, objectively the entity of Torah is something that engenders simcha when it's studied. There is an objective property that characterizes the study of Torah that stays separate and apart from the way that the person reacts to that study. The study is a gladdening act. And therefore, although little children don't experience a personal joy when they come to learn Torah because they lack that comprehension that that adults feel, but nonetheless, they're having an encounter. They're meeting something that is a davar ha-misameach, that's misamchei lev, that objectively, definitionally, is something that is considered to gladden the heart. And because that's an action of joy, it's prohibited on Tisha B'Av, regardless of how the person studying it reacts to that joy. And I thought that maybe this is just a personal thought, I haven't seen this written up anywhere, but I thought that maybe we could deepen this idea, we could explain it a little bit further, by adding another approach, pretty famous idea of Rav Soloveitchik's, which is his stance on Simcha in the role in Avodas Hashem in general. The Rav developed in many different contexts that Simcha, according to the halacha and according to the hashkafa of the Torah, is not just it's not a psychological state, but it's a state of being lifnei Hashem. It's the experience of being within Hashem's Shechina, of experiencing that close relationship to Hashem. That's why each of the Yamim Tovim is a time of Simcha, because we come to the Beis Hamikdash to experience the state of being in Hashem's quarters, so to speak. The Samachta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, the pasuk says. And indeed, the Gemara in Brachos and Da'av Vavam and Aleph, so it records that the Shechina is present even with one person who's investing him or herself in the study of Torah. It doesn't take a whole shiur, it doesn't take a whole shul or base medrash to have the Shechina come to greet those who are studying Torah. Even one person who's studying Torah alone in his house or apartment is merited with the accompaniment of the Shechina. Why is that the case? Well, I thought that maybe the simcha of Talmud Torah lies in the presence of the Shechina. And the reason why the Shechina is present is because when one learns Torah, what he or she is doing is encountering Devar Hashem. He's studying the Word of God. He's uncovering and revealing all of the different layers of the will of God. That's what he or she is doing. So therefore, Hashem comes to greet that person with his Shechina when he encounters Devar Hashem. And in this sense, so Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misamchei Lev, there's an objective property of the study of Torah that is something misameach, regardless of how you react to it. Because when you study Torah, you're in Hashem's presence because you are studying Hashem's will and Hashem's word. So in summary, if we take the Magen Avraham and the Rav together, What emerges is two different approaches to why it is that we have to close up the schools on Tisha B'Av, and actually two different approaches to the role of Simcha in the world of Talmud Torah. The Magen Avraham, it's all psychological, it's personal, it's subjective. Little children experience Simcha too, not from the understanding, not from the intellectual comprehension of the Torah, but from reading the words. And therefore, that Simcha is sufficient to outlaw Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. According to the Rav, even if little children don't experience Simcha at all, Nonetheless, the objective property, the characteristic of Talmud Torah, of coming into an encounter with Dvar Hashem, that itself is something that's misameach and needs to be desisted from on Tisha B'Av. So what comes out of these two different approaches are two different ways of viewing, but two different ways of formulating the role of Simcha in Talmud Torah. One way to view it is from a subjective and psychological perspective. When we study Torah, we feel a sense of Simcha because we're taking a step into, we're delving into the Dvar Hashem and uncovering it and understanding it, and that leads us to acquiring and apprehending the ultimate truth, which is the will of God, and that of course leads us to a great sense of Simcha. That's a psychological Simcha. That's something that exists on the inside. But what the Rav develops is that there's another sense of Simcha, which is that it's an objective property of Torah study, regardless of what the person, of how the person reacts to it when he studies it. And perhaps that's because Talmud Torah at its core is encountering Dvar Hashem, and because Simcha is being lifnei Hashem, when one studies Dvar Hashem, he's automatically in a state of Simcha. So if this is the case, that Simcha in Talmud Torah is not just a byproduct of Torah study, but it's something that's definitional to it, it's integral to the enterprise of Talmud Torah, as the Rav explained, we can actually explain another very intriguing facet of Talmud Torah status as something that's joyful. So I'm going to direct your attention now to another application of the Simcha of Talmud Torah, and that comes up in the esoteric world of Isur Hana'a, of the prohibition to derive benefit. What am I talking about? So the Mishnayos in Maseches Nedarim, they describe the following case. Let's say you have two people, call them Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven says that he takes a vow that Shimon is not allowed to derive any benefit from any of his possessions. So that vow is binding, and Shimon in turn is not allowed, he's prohibited to derive hana'a, to get any joy or pleasure or benefit from Shimon's property. So the Mishnah in Nidarim actually has a very interesting case. And it says, let's say that Reuven does this. Let's say he prohibits Shimon from all of his possessions. Is Shimon allowed to use the Sefer Torah that belongs to the community in which Reuven and Shimon reside? And the Mishnah says, absolutely not. Shimon is not allowed to gain any benefit from that Sefer Torah if Reuven and Shimon live in a community that plays host to that Sefer Torah. Now, why is that? So it used to be that in those times, everyone in the community would have a portion in the Sefer Torah of the community. So therefore, Reuven had a portion in the Sefer Torah, Shimon had a portion in the Sefer Torah, Levi, Yehuda, and so on and so forth. Everyone had a portion in the Sefer Torah. So since Shimon is prohibited from gaining any benefit from Reuven, were he to hear the Sefer Torah and thereby gain benefit from it, he would actually be deriving benefit from something that Reuven owns in part. And therefore, that would be a violation of the prohibition to derive benefit from Reuven's possessions. That's the background. That's the Mishnah in Nedarim. The Rishonim ask a very intriguing question here. And they say as follows. How does this Mishnah make any sense in light of another principle that we have in halacha, which is called mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu? Mitzvos are not intended for the sake of benefit. So let me drop the following example from the Gemara to explain what this means. Let's say again that Shimon is not allowed to derive any benefit from Reuven. Is Reuven allowed to blow shofar for Shimon on Rosh Hashanah? So you might say, wait a minute, he's gonna gain benefit from the blowing of the shofar. So of course not, because Shimon's not allowed to derive any benefit from Reuven. Says the Gemara, mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. Mitzvos are not intended for benefit. Any benefit that comes along from a mitzvah is considered a byproduct. It's considered something that doesn't register in the eyes of the law, doesn't register in halacha. And therefore, Shimon is allowed to hear the shofar, even if it's blown by Reuven on Rosh Hashanah. So ask the Rishonim, if that's the case, that mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu, that we don't have to be worried, we don't have to be concerned about benefit that comes about in the process of a mitzvah. So then why is Shimon not allowed to hear the Sefer Torah of the community just because Reuven has a portion in it? Isn't hearing the Torah considered limud ha-Torah? Isn't that considered a mitzvah that's keneged kulam, the Mishnah in Teyah says? Isn't that's a mitzvah just like hearing shofar? So why does it matter that Shimon gets benefit from the Sefer Torah that Reuven owns in part? Mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. The benefit should be totally sidetracked, should be a byproduct, it should be an offshoot, it shouldn't be something that registers in the eyes of Allah. So Rabbi Avraham min Hahar, who was one of the Rishonim of the 13th century from southern France, from Provence. So he has an amazing, amazing approach to this question. And he explains basically as follows. It's true that mitzvos lav lehanos ninu, that mitzvos are not given for the intent of benefit, and therefore generally benefit stays as a byproduct of a mitzvah. But the exception to that rule is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because Talmud Torah is intended to engender joy in the person who studies it, because the whole purpose of Talmud Torah is to grasp the truth, is to grasp the ultimate truth, the will of God, and that by definition is something that causes joy in a person, so the mitzvah of Talmud Torah was given to benefit. We can't apply mitzvos lav lehanos ninu to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is exceptional. It's singular, it's unique. It can't be included in this principle because it really was given for the purpose of benefit. And therefore, explains Rabbi Avraham in Ahar, that's why Shimon is not allowed to derive benefit from the Sefer Torah that Reuven has a portion in. Because even though mitzvos lav lehanos ninu, what Shimon's going to be doing is engaging in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of Torah study, is by definition something that's supposed to cause joy, and therefore we don't apply the principle of mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu to it. So if we summarize where we're at so far, if we recap what we've seen, we have the approach of the Rav to the prohibition of studying Torah on Tisha B'Av. We have the approach of Rabbi Avraham in Ahar to why mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu doesn't apply to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And when we take those two points together, what emerges is that Talmud Torah, the act, the enterprise of Torah study, is something that by definition is a joyous act. It's objectively gladdening, regardless of how the person reacts to their Torah study. But in light of Rabbi Avraham in Ahar, we learn from that a person's obligation when he learns Torah is to tap in to the simcha that is definitional to the Torah. So the Torah is definitionally misameach, and the person's obligation is to feel, is to experience, is to tap into that simcha. That's what emerges from these two two approaches. And this approach to the role, to the nature of simcha and Talmud Torah has great ramifications on the way that we study Torah. We mentioned at the very beginning of the shiur that we make a Birkas HaTorah prior to studying Torah in the morning. And the Birkas HaTorah really is distinct. If you compare it to other brachos that we make before we perform a mitzvah, it really stands out. When we shake a lulav or we blow a shofar, we make one bracha, al netilas lulav, l'shma akol shofar. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, we make two brachos. According to some Rishonim, they're even counted as three brachos. We have the bracha of la'asuk b'divrei Torah, we add on v'ha'arevna, and then we have the bracha of asher bochar banu mikolo amim, where we praise Hashem for having chosen us as the nation to whom to give the Torah. Why do we have two brachos on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So the Levush of Mordechai Yaffe, one of the commentaries around the time of the Rama, wrote a perush, a commentary that's meant to take the perush of the tour and make it more concise, more condensed. So he has a really striking approach to this question, a very noteworthy approach to this question. And he says as follows: you know why we have two brachos on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Because the brachos that we say on Talmud Torah are not just the Birkas HaMitzvah. They're actually a Birkas HaNehenim. They're a bracha that we make prior to deriving benefit from something. Usually we describe a Birkas HaNehenim as something, as a bracha that we make prior to consuming food, before having a meal. Says the Levush, the Birkas HaTorah is also a Birkas HaNehenim. And that's why we have two brachos. Because we have one bracha that relates to the Torah that we studied the day before. That's a bracha le'achareha that recaps the Torah that we studied the day before. And we also have a second bracha, which is a bracha lefaneha, a bracha that precedes the Torah that we're going to study in the following day. You could ask, why didn't we make the bracha le'achareha the night before? So says the Levush, because we're actually obligated to study Torah at all times. So until a person falls asleep, he can't make that bracha. So he can only make the bracha the following morning when he's already paused, when he's already interrupted his Torah study. But nonetheless, explained to the Levush, we have two brachos to parallel the
the structure of Birkas Hananin. Whenever we have food, we have a bracha rishona and we have a bracha achruna. We make hamotzi lechem and aretz on bread, and then we have Birkas Hamazon, we have benching after the meal. So too with Torah, we have a bracha lefaneha that is a Birkas Hananin that allows us to derive benefit from the Torah going forward, and we have a bracha laachareha that thanks Hashem for the benefit that we received from the Torah the day before. And of course, this approach of the Levush, as remarkable as it is, it really underscores the approach that we've been developing all the way through. That Talmud Torah at its core, at its essence, part and parcel of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to cause joy, is to engender joy within the person who learns it. Definitional to the enterprise of Talmud Torah is the element of simcha. And therefore, the bracha that we make on it is not just the Birkas HaTorah, but it's actually a Birkas HaNehemim. So now that we've proven this the unique role of simcha in Talmud Torah, something that's definitional to the act of Talmud Torah, it's objective. It doesn't really matter whether you feel it or not, it's there. And we've added to that the obligation of the person is to feel it, is to experience it, is to tap into that simcha. So now I'd just like to discuss for a few moments why it is so important that Torah is something that's misameach. What's the purpose of the simcha in Talmud Torah? And in addition to that, why it is that Torah is something that's misameach? What's the basis on which we assume that Torah is something that brings us joy? So let's take each of those questions one by one. Let's start with the purpose of the simcha of Talmud Torah. So there are some who suggest really pragmatic benefits to the simcha of Talmud Torah. The Reb Chaim Volozhin in his Perush on Avos and Ruach Chaim, so he explains that by feeling joyous because of our Talmud Torah, we're going to increase the quantity of our learning. We know that whenever we feel happy about something, we do it more. If there's something that brings us joy, we do it more. So if we feel joyous about Talmud Torah, then we're going to do it more. We're going to learn more. We're going to delve more into it. We're going to reach a greater understanding of the Torah. Rabbeinu Manoach, one of the commentaries on the Rambam, explains that the joy of Talmud Torah is meant to motivate a person to continue to learn Torah. Torah is something that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of investment. There's a lot of amelos that goes into Torah. Explains Rabbeinu Manoach that if it weren't for the joy, then a person wouldn't have the motivation to keep going. But it's because a person feels and experiences that joy that comes about the process of Lima Torah that he or she continues to learn. And the Egle Tal, so the Egle Tal mentions also that the part of the role of joy in Torah study is to enhance one's memory and internalization of the Torah. But Rav Yitzchak Kuttner in the Pach Yitzchak really develops a much more fundamental approach. And he gives the following mashal. Why is it that David HaMelech calls the Torah something that's a sha'ashua, something that's almost like a toy, it's a plaything, it's something that's a delight to a person? So Rav Kuttner explains in one of his letters that along the lines of the following analogy. When we talk about little children playing with their toys, so we don't describe them as working with them or seeking to achieve a certain result with the toy or investing themselves in it. All that we say is that they're playing with the toy. They have fun, they enjoy the toy, they get delight, they get the ultimate joy just from interacting with their toys. The value of the toy for the little child is intrinsic to the toy. It doesn't rest in anything outside of whatever game he or she is playing. It's right there. It rests within the toy. So too, the Torah for us is a sha'ashua. The value of the Torah is intrinsic to the Torah. It doesn't matter what results are going to come about from the Torah. And of course, there are very many ones that are extremely valuable, but it doesn't matter. When we learn Torah, the value of the Torah is intrinsic to it. It's just like playing with the way that a child plays with a toy. And therefore, when we experience the joy of Talmud Torah, so the same way that a child experiences the joy of playing with his or her toys and games, so too, we experience the joy of Talmud Torah and thereby reflect the simcha of Talmud Torah. Now, why is it that we assume that Torah is something that brings us joy? So there are different approaches. We said before that according to the Rav, maybe it's something that's lifnei Hashem. It's something that it brings about a state of being in God's presence. Others explain that it's because of the comprehension of the Torah. When you grasp that ultimate truth of the will of God, that brings about a real sense of joy. But again, Rav Huttner in another piece in his Ma'amarim on Chag HaShavuos So he explains differently along the lines of the following mashal. He asks as follows: Chas v'shalom, if you have someone who's drowning at sea, and then they're saved, so they come out and they feel an immense sense of joy. Why is it that they feel so happy after having been saved? So says Rav Huttner, it's because at that moment they reflect on their existence. They feel alive. Their joy comes from the fact that they are here, that they exist, that they are alive in this world. So too says Rav Huttner, when we learn Torah, we're reminded of our life. As the Zohar explains, Yisrael ve'oraisa chadu, the life of a Jew and the life of Torah are bound together at the hip. They're inseparable. A Jew and Torah go, they're two peas in a pod, they go together. So therefore, when one studies Torah, he's reminded of his essence, of his life, of his core. And that's what brings someone the ultimate joy, the same way that one feels joy after having been saved. And along those lines, the Maharal explains that the Torah is something that completes our existence. Our creation is not really complete until we grasp the mission of learning Torah, until we use the Torah in order to bond ourselves and relate to the Ribono Shel Olam, and in that sense, accomplish our objective in this world. And in that way, Torah brings us our ultimate sense of completion of existence. And that's why it's something that engenders so much joy. So if we return all the way back to the question that we asked at the beginning of this year, why is it that when we seek joy in Torah study, that's not a violation of Torah Lishma, that's not a violation of trying to learn Torah for its own sake? So now the answer becomes very, very clear. It's because Simcha is not just an accompaniment to, it's not just a side point, it's not just a byproduct of, it's not an offshoot of Talmud Torah, but it's something that's definitional to it. Talmud Torah at its very core is objectively something that gladdens the heart, Misam Chiliv, and our obligation is to tap into, is to feel that Simcha. So if that's the case, then asking Hashem for joy in Torah, seeking joy in Torah, is not antithetical to Torah Lishma. It's a fulfillment of it. That's a satisfaction of Torah Lishma, because the whole point and purpose of Torah is not only to comprehend it intellectually, but also to experience the joy of that comprehension, to experience the joy of being within the presence of Hashem when we encounter His will. And that's actually really the approach. So a well-known comment that the Sacha Chaver Rebbe in his Sefer Egle Tal, he's more famous for his Truvos of the Avni Nezer, but he also wrote a famous Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos called the Egle Tal. He makes that very point in his introduction to that Sefer. So what we saw tonight was really that there's a unique role of Simcha in the world of Talmud Torah. It's definitional to the enterprise. It's something that's part and parcel of every person's obligation to tap into the Simcha that is rooted in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that accounts for many, many consequences and ramifications. That's why we close up the schools on Tisha B'Av. That's why Talmud Torah is an exception to the rule of mitzvos lav lehanus mitnu. That's why we make a Birkas HaTorah. We have two Birkas HaTorah, and according to the Levush, on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as a Birkas HaNenin, both before and after. And that indicates the ubiquitous role of Simcha in the world of Talmud Torah. Just to wrap up, I just want to comment that, as I said before, the Shir tonight was dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmos, Leon and Leona Browser, my father-in-law Joel's parents, Eliezer ben Avraham Yitzchak Zichrono Levracha, and Elkabas Herschel Zichrono Levracha. And I really feel, based on, I knew them a little bit. I was very privileged to know them a little bit over the last 4 years. And it was very, very clear to me, and especially from all the pictures and stories that I've heard, that they really experienced the joy of Talmud Torah in being able to facilitate a Jewish education for so many Jewish children in their community and throughout our country. If you just look at the pictures of them standing with little kids in BMA and how joyful they are for having been able to provide that opportunity of Jewish education for those children. So what you see is that they're really role modeled for us, what it means to have joy, what it means to have a true simcha in the world of Talmud Torah. And I think it's our responsibility as a family and as a community to carry on that legacy and really tap in to that joy. So as we approach the Yom Tov of Chag HaShavuos coming up this Thursday night and Friday, though I'm very saddened that I won't be able to be at Young Israel in Hollywood, but nonetheless, this Shavuos is really our opportunity
to re-accept the Torah personally, but not only to do that, but to deepen our relationship with the Torah. And hopefully with this broader and hopefully deeper understanding of the role of joy, the role of simcha in learning Torah, so we'll be able to enhance our Kabbalah HaTorah, our acceptance of the Torah, and eventually to allow the Torah to strengthen our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that way fulfill, as the Maharal said, our mission in this world and complete our creation. Wish everyone a Chag Sameach and a good job.
Thank you, Rabbi Katz. It was wonderful to see you. Wonderful to learn from you again and again. Thank you to Rabbi Turk and to the whole Wexner Kol Elyon program and to Reitz, both for giving us Rabbi Katz this evening, as well as the wonderful Torah leadership you give to the whole Jewish community, and especially the wonderful work that the Rosh Yeshiva of Reitz are doing at this difficult time, providing halacha guidance to the whole world. Rabbi Katz, we know you have big shoes to fill, and we look forward to seeing great things come from you. Maybe a future Y Rosh Yeshiva right here in front in our midst. Who knows? We'll have to see. So thank you very much, Rabbi Katz. Thank you, everyone, for coming to part one of our wonderful triple header. Please stay tuned. I have to make a few technical changes. But if you're in the shul, please, if you're joining us from shul, please don't go anywhere. We will start with Rabbi Fred Klein, who I see is right here on the line. Rabbi Fred Klein will be speaking about Root, Sinai, and Shavuot, towards a deeper understanding of the meaning of Chesed. We'll be starting that in just 2 minutes, and followed by our third part of the triple header, Rabbi Weinstock at 9:30, Machloket, Origins and Dynamics of Dispute. So a wonderful night of learning and preparation for Shavuot. Thank you, Rabbi Katz. I'm going to mute you now, and I'm going to get started working on the tech for Rabbi Klein, who will be good. Everyone just hang in there. Don't go anywhere. Rabbi Klein will be on in just 2 minutes.